thank you so much for joining us, Ian.
That's fine. Happy to be here.
So first question, right off the bat, what is psychogeography?
Oh, that's a really good question. That's like a publishing industry and an artistic industry all of its own. But to briefly summarise it, I think it's a certain sort of recognition of the reciprocal relationship between people and the places they inhabit. So how places affect people, and then how people affect places in return.
Right. And actually, could I get you to elaborate on that a little bit? Like, give us an example.
An example might be you may have done something like this. You get a bus to somewhere, perhaps somewhere you've never been. You step off the bus into the street. The bus pulls away, and all of a sudden you have a certain feeling that you didn't have when you were on the bus. It's the idea that certain places have particular sort of atmospheres. Huh. And the idea is that and as you move from one part of the city to another, even crossing the street, turning a corner, walking under a railway bridge, you feel that you've moved from one sort of atmosphere into another.
Yeah, right. So like the psychology of a place, essentially.
Yes. So psychogeography is psychology meets geography.
Geography, yeah, bingo.
It's the portmanteau word.
Makes sense. Yeah. And why is it important that we preserve our memories of the past, especially through geography?
I think that memory is a resource rather than simply a phenomenon. Memory can provide a way to engage with the places we live in. So it's not just our engagement with the immediate and the present, but engagement with memories are often things we think of as personal, but there's also the history of the places as well. So if we don't know the history of the places we inhabit, and we have no memories of the places we inhabit, then those places are effectively different.
Right. A key concept in psychogeography is the flaneur. What is the flaneur? God damn it. Flaneur?
Flaneur.
Flaneur.
Or if you're talking about a woman, it's the flaneuse.
Flaneuse.
The flaneuse.
What is the flaneur, and why is this an important figure in psychogeography?
The flaneur goes back to Paris, the 1840s, obviously. Like a lot of theoretical concepts, we find our way to France sooner or later. And the flaneur was a certain figure, like a literary figure, but also a way of inhabiting the city. The flaneur drifts through the city, enjoying the spectacle of, say, for example, Paris, walking through the arcades, which are the forerunners of our shopping centres. So at that time, the cities in Europe, obviously large metropolises, were developing, and the arcades were covered covered footpaths to begin with. And the idea is that you could sort of process through and enjoy the spectacle of the city around you. So the point of the flaneur is that they have sort of no point to what they are doing. They are, which is why we go back to the idea of drifting, or we'll come to the idea of drifting perhaps. So the flaneur moves through the city. The flaneur is at home in what was then the new metropolis. So various people then have written about this figure.
Mm.
So we go back to the poetry of Baudelaire, and then later on the critic Walter Benjamin sort of goes back in writing in the 1930s, then returns to this figure from the 19th century.
Mm. So you mentioned drifting just now.
Drifting, yes.
What is drifting?
Drifting is another sort of development of this idea of psychogeography. It's attributed to a French activist Marxist called Guy Debord. Mm. A French sort of activist Marxist cultural critic called Guy Debord. And he was part of a couple of different organisations in the 50s and 60s, one called the Letterists International, and the other became the Situationists, and then the Situationists International. And they were in revolt against the creeping colonisation by capitalism of more and more aspects of everyday life. And they were afraid that in the end we wouldn't live our lives, we would simply consume it through screens.
Mm.
So if Debord was alive today, he'd be rolling in his grave. So the idea of drifting through the city, the idea of what they called the derive, was a way of inhabiting the space of the city that defied the needs of capitalism. So we would walk through the city following our own authentic impulses, rather than simply walking to go to the shops or to go to work. Walking would become a form of sort of political act. And we would just decide we're just going to walk through the city without any particular aim in mind. Hence, we are just drifting.
Right.
And by drifting, we're refusing the rational capitalist logic of the city, which is about consumption and production and being at a certain place at a certain time to go to work. You get this in the mornings if you're walking through the city and you watch, and you're walking against the tide of commuters. Because everyone is moving, but the way they're moving through the city is for the needs of capital. They've got to be at work. But they're going to be sitting at their desks at 8 or 8.30 in the morning. So Debord thought that one of the ways we could resist this creeping colonisation of our lives was by opening up to authentic experiences in the city, which was encounters with people and places on their own terms and almost for their own sake. So that's why the drift is important. Aimlessness has a political intent and a political aspect to it. To be aimless in the city is to resist capital.
Right. And how does that relate back to psychogeography?
Well, Debord was the first, is attributed with actually defining psychogeography. Because this idea of realising that you could have these authentic experiences with the different atmospheres in the city was part of what they called space, part of their repertoire of political action. Because they thought that if you don't watch, don't consume spectacles through the television, go out into the world and encounter it directly. So the streets become a place of authentic experiences, which are sort of juxtaposed against the commodified spectacle that we got, say, through the television. So open yourself up to those experiences of place that are real, that are authentic, that at that point were yet to be commodified by capital. Because their worries were that every aspect of our lives was now could be bought and sold. So they thought that these authentic experiences in the city couldn't be.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ian.
Anytime.